for another Sunshine Radio podcast. And, well, can we do a little round of applause? Because we have Lee Martin, we've got Craig Teague, and we've also got Jimmy Martin here as well. Woo-hoo! The guys that make Lakefest happen, sometimes.
Yeah, well, I think to say that Jimmy makes Lakefest happen would be a bit unfair. He's there as a little sidekick. You've got to give a big mention to... I'm not going to mention any names, actually, because I think I'll miss someone out and offend someone. Because there's probably now... There's obviously the core team that make the thing happen, but there's hundreds of people now that go over and above to deliver this event for the public. And some of them don't even get paid. And all they get is grief as well. So you've got to... There is such a large amount of people now that come together to make Lakefest happen and make it so successful. And it wouldn't be right for me and Craig just to take glory for it, because...
But we will take some.
Oh, well, yeah, take the best shit.
Take whatever you can get that's positive.
Right.
We're back in the studio. It's post-Lakedown 2021. Guys, a successful one in the main, wasn't it? Because one of the things we're going to do is be honest now about some of the behind-the-scenes stuff. Most of the punters that turned up wouldn't have noticed anything at all other than, wow, amazing, fantastic. We actually got to go to a festival during post-pandemic situation, came away, packed their tents up, went home, and thought they had a fantastic time. They did, of course.
They did.
But a lot of stress for you guys.
There's 14,000 people we made very happy, and I'm really, really proud of that. Yeah. In fact, on Sunday afternoon, I was a bit more calm and with the world, and I just had a wander around. I saw this young girl with her family walk into the campsite, and she was clapping her hands, singing "Lake Fest is best, Lake Fest is best," and it was just like...
And you joined in?
No, I didn't join in. And it's pretty special times, but it was by far the hardest Lake Fest. I mean, the robbery was pretty difficult to deal with.
Let's just fill people in on that that weren't aware. A few years back, the entire bar take of Friday night was stolen. And that was devastating, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was dreadful. It was an absolutely outstanding amount of money. Being honest with you, Mark, it's taken me probably till now to get over that. Because it was so much money. I didn't deserve that to happen to me at all. And it ruined my life. It did. I mean, it really did. And that's true. But this year was a total triumph, because we've actually made some money for the first time ever, which... It isn't all about money at all. We've done it for more than that. We have made money, which is the first time ever. And I went into this thing this time for the first time. I moved into the Deer Park on the 1st of August. And 1st of August, I moved in there. Daffy had already been in the field for 3 or 4 days. Martin had put all his glamping tents up. And I was really relaxed for the first time going into this event. People said to me, "God, you're really relaxed. You've got a really good energy. You're cool." And I was. I felt $1 million. I felt totally in control. I knew we weren't going to go bankrupt because we'd done the ticket sales because of COVID, because of Tom Jones, because people weren't going abroad. And I was comfortable. I felt really good. And the weather was set fair. So that's a major consideration every year that I panic about. And everything just seemed like it was all falling into place. And I was in a really cool place, and then it started to go wrong. It did. It really did. I mean, and I don't mind talking about this now. If you think it's valid, I won't go too deep and dark. But I'll tell you what we had to deal with, because it was horrendous.
Yeah, I mean, it's not an elephant in the room to anybody that turned up on site but wasn't aware. But the stage that you booked didn't turn up. You've got a festival to put on with no main stage.
Mark, it started way earlier than that, really, because what happened, the supply chain is broken, right? So, and I believe with Harris Fencing, it's all used for events. They bring it in new for... I've learned this since, you know. They bring it in new every year for event fencing, so it's new. It gets battered, and it goes to the building sites. That's the lifespan of a Harris fence, apparently. Well, because there's been no events 2 years, there's no new Harris fence anywhere. So all the Harris fence is with builders or wherever. So we'd paid a company £7,800 to deliver 1,100 Harris fence panels and 500 ped barriers, which was more than enough to deliver our event. You need it. You need it to go around generators, to go around water bladders, to go around the arena, make it safe and secure. it's so important. It's just even the back of market stands, you know, like it's a necessary evil, Harris fence. I don't like the stuff, it doesn't look pretty, but you have to have it. And it just never showed. And it was Manana every day. I was ringing this guy, ringing his company, when's the fencing coming, because I've got 9 guys here to put it up. And it just never came. And the guys on the ground are then getting really frustrated because they're thinking, well, we can't do anything. There's nothing for them to do. Mm. They're thinking, I'm not going to pay them. They're not going to get paid. And these guys have had time off work to help us. So they're getting edgy. And it's a week of just nothing, no movement. Then it started getting desperate, obviously. You know, like, I said to the man, I was like, look, send me the fencing or send me my money back so I can get some fencing elsewhere. And he just, on a text, just casually, just, that'll help me out if I give you money back. I can't get any transport. So immediately I've gone from being super cool, chill, to being, oh my word, I'm never going to get 1,000 Harris fence panels in a week. Mm. Never going to happen. So we're just calling in favours, and I think we got 100 from East North Estate. We got 80 from some guy in Ledbury. We got 50 from a builder that lives near, that drinks in my pub. And it was just like begging people to lend us their fencing. James Dant bought 80 panels for us. We just about scraped enough together to secure the arena, which is a part of the licence. So really, it's a showstopper.
Yeah.
It really is. And just about do it. But this caused problems further down the line because we didn't have enough to secure the disabled area, the accessible area, the gold area. We couldn't fence properly, which meant people got wrong pitches, which led to massive complaints on site, which was so unnecessary. Because had we have had what we paid for, we could have, there wouldn't have been any problems. That's a fact. And so it's very frustrating, really, which is why I got quite emotional on the Sunday, because we did just get away with it. And what I'm going to talk about now with the stage was just a different level of anything. I've had some pretty stressful times in my life. I've been through some real, you know, push me to the edge disasters, really. You know, some serious things have happened. But the main stage not being delivered that we'd paid for on Tuesday, not having a main stage, when Tom Jones is turning up on Thursday morning, was pretty difficult to deal with. And you know, I'm forever grateful to James Danter, the showman of, you know, the Danter's Funfair.
Yeah, I love James, great man.
No, he's just an awesome human. And when you're in trouble and you need someone that you can rely on, he was the person I rang, because it became clear the stage wasn't coming. It had been impounded at a festival down near Portsmouth called Wickham.
Yeah,
they tried to build it on some land. Apparently, I don't know the ins and outs of this, but I think they tried to build it on some land. It was condemned as unsafe. The thing was, if it had come to Lakefest, it would been perfectly fine, because we'd have built it on a perfectly good base, you know. And it was a world-class stage. You know, and I was so excited because Tom Jones would have performed on that thing, and it would have looked amazing. And as it was, you know, a lot of customers didn't even notice that the stage was substandard and the sound and lighting was dreadful.
Mm.
But the reality was, the stage, James Danter drove all night to pick us up from Northampton. We were charged quite a lot of money for this stage because it was an emergency, I think. You know, it was 37,000 quid for a stage that wasn't fit for purpose, that we had to collect and build, where we'd already paid 24 grand to have a stage built, delivered, and all the rest of it. So that's very, you know, like I said, that the money, it got to the point where it didn't matter about the money, because if there's no main stage, there's no show. So it was imperative we got this stage, and the lads, James Lander, bought it over for us, and the lads worked 24/7 for 2 days and nights building it. And they're not stage builders, you know, these guys are blokes that help me, you know, but they all pulled together, built this stage. But then it became very clear on Thursday morning, and Tom Jones's tour manager agreed, that the stage wasn't really fit for purpose. It looked unsafe, it didn't look great, but it was take that stage or, you know, no show, because we'd been let down so badly. And Tom Jones, tour manager, turned up and said, this isn't the stage we're promised, it's not going to have the screens on it, we can't do the production, therefore you're in breach of contract, there's no show. And they left. They left for about 5 hours. And you know, I you said you witnessed that, me running down the hill, running into the office. Mm. I got Craig, I got Martin and Daffy, and I'm like, we've got a major problem. This is, Tom Jones ain't doing the show tonight. We need to get another headliner and we need to release a press release. And I was distraught because I was going to let down 15,000 people. There was people and children in Tom Jones T-shirts, for goodness sake, you know.
Yeah.
And I was absolutely beside myself because I believed he wasn't coming back, and we had a, it was just going to be horrible. And the real frustration and anger for me was it wasn't of our doing. We were just let down terribly. But I think, you know, I sobbed down the phone to Tom Jones's manager in London, and he actually came up in a limo to tell me off and dress me down personally, because what we did was pretty, what we should have done was told them on Tuesday when the main stage didn't come that we didn't have a stage, and they arguably could have helped us get a stage, which I think they'd have struggled with, to be honest. But I believe his manager, these people at Live Nation, they actually own Wilderness, and there was a stage from there we were trying to get. So, you know, either they'd have sorted the stage out or they'd have pulled it. But at least 2 days before, customers haven't turned up, they're aware, you know, we could have explained in a proper press release, as in, this is what's happened, here's the link to the stage being impounded and all these things. But what we did, we buried our heads in the sand, really, a little bit, being honest with you. You know, I wasn't aware that the stage was, I thought we were getting a like-for-like stage, to be fair. I thought James was going to pick up a stage that was exactly as per the spec, but it wasn't. And we were very lucky that Tom Jones decided to not do his album and his show and part of his tour, and he did like a greatest hits sort of performance, didn't he? And, and I actually, it's ironic because we'd been to see him, or Paul had been to go and see him down in London, and he'd just done his album. He hadn't played any greatest hits at all. And Paul said, I wonder if he's going to do that at Lakefest. And I said, well, he will, because it's part of his tour. He goes, well, I'm not sure that will go down with our audience, just him playing the album. And it was in the back of my mind, that to be fair. But as it worked out, he didn't have any production. There was no screens. So he had no choice, really, but to do greatest hits.
Yeah.
And I think he actually enjoyed doing it. It resonated into the audience, his passion. I know someone that's a big fan told me that it was the first time they'd seen him do an encore in 17 years.
Mm.
And he did a long encore, didn't he?
Mm.
And I think he was quite emotional. And I was certainly very emotional. I was so happy he took that stage. I mean, I didn't want to go anywhere near backstage because I was embarrassed about what had happened. And it was... it was truly a horrendous day. It really was. And then, obviously, after that, the cash list, there was a lot of problems with the cash list. People getting in, we're overwhelmed with a lot of people turning up at the same time. There was a problem with the wristbands. And it was people... But, you know, I went up to deal with that, and I'm watching Tom Jones, and the sound wasn't great in places. There was a lot of bleed from the other stages. And I was just thinking, this is a living nightmare. We've got this wrong. And I didn't sleep that night because I'd been so worked up. I literally lay awake up there in Golden Gates, and I lay awake all night thinking I've destroyed my brand. I've really seriously messed up here. And I decided I was going to get up at 8 and just go down into the field. We put an apology on the big board, if you saw that, saying, please bear with us, be patient, thank you for your patience
on the screens.
Thank you for your patience yesterday. Yeah. Any problems, come to the top-up booth today. And I wanted to personally do those top-ups and get the feedback from people.
Yep.
But in my mind, I'd told myself that we were rubbish because I'd had people telling me we were shit and it was a debacle. But it as it turned out, I was only like exposed to the negativity. There was tens of thousands of people, you know, 10,000 people that were super happy and hadn't had an issue. I was so pleased on Friday morning that you know, people weren't shouting at me, people weren't in my face, everyone was complimentary about Tom Jones, about the whole show, the vibe, the fact we'd got a show on in COVID, and it made me feel really good. And people were getting their wristbands topped up and everything started working.
Yeah.
And I remember four or five years ago, Bearded Theory, my friend, had a massive problem with traffic getting into the site, people waiting 8 hours. And I was reading the feedback on Facebook, feeling really sorry for him because people were being really nasty and really kicking off. And by Sunday, he had turned on his head. Everyone was praising him. And I knew that if we got it right throughout the weekend, i.e. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, by Sunday night, people would have forgotten that, you know, the, any sort of drama that they saw on the Thursday, which actually was small. People didn't see it. And that's exactly what we did. There was Saturday, there was the Stereo MCs played, didn't they?
Yeah, they were superb.
Scouting for Girls were amazing. The Venger Boys were just...
They blew the roof.
Yeah,
which I don't think any of us really expected. Somebody did say, because you're a big indie rock fan, somebody did say to me, I've just seen Lee sat by the side of the stage shaking his head, not getting why everyone's so going mad.
But it worked.
But it worked, and they were brilliant.
It was probably the best reaction to an act we've ever had. I think that's fair.
Once they threw the beach balls out, it's like everyone is definitely having a party because the sun was shining, wasn't it, as well?
And it did. And like I said, mate, we there's so much love in that field, there's so many nice people, that the vibe just got so good. And it ended in, you know, and there was the highlights that we talked about earlier, the Red Devils,
the wrestling was something that I've never seen in a music festival before, but the kids were loving it. And we went in, we dipped into one of the, into the tent where it was happening, and the kids were all cheering on the boo. It was pantomime.
Yeah,
summer pantomime.
Yeah, it was and the children's area worked really well. I really liked the new layout with the stage. I felt the layout worked, the festival flowed. There was a lot we got right. There was a hell of a lot we got right. There was just the things out of our control that we got wrong, and it was a shame, because had we have had the stage, had we got the fence in, had we not have had those initial teething problems with the wristbands, it would have been a perfect weekend, like completely perfect from my point of view. Where it's now, you know, I've got some legals to sort out with people that have let us down, because we incurred a lot of damages and costs and reputational damage as well. There is, I mean, Craig told me not to talk about it, but I will, because it's I'm quite proud. No, well, 15,000 people went to Lakefest, right?
Yeah.
We've got a complaints spreadsheet that's shared. There's 40 complaints from the whole weekend. You know, and on 15,000 people, and when we dealt with that adversity, I'm so pleased and I'm proud of what we achieved.
And most of those are going to be small things, like my toilet wasn't clean nearest to my tent or something like that. So.
Yeah, there's nothing serious, in my opinion. I mean,
no, there's nothing majorly serious. I'll jump in here. Just experience, really, for people turning up and, you know, waiting to get in, then they find that they haven't got the pitch they expected, or there was some kind of problem. You know, but on the whole, a lot like Lee said, it's such a small percentage. There were probably some things on the ground that could have been done differently, but I think ultimately they were solved there and then as fast as they possibly could, and people went on to had a good time, and most of those people did complain, did acknowledge they had a great time after, and then we'll be coming again, so which is a credit to the
festival.
Repeat
business,
but
is the most important.
If people felt let down, then obviously we need to make them we need to sort that out.
We are actually, believe it or not, we're very professional. We are there, aren't we?
I personally responded to every single Facebook message, you know, for the last 18 months, every single one. Everyone gets a personal response, and I think people appreciate that, and they're actually surprised that, you know, an answer comes back so quickly, and all the complaints will be dealt with.
Every single person I'm going to ring, and we'll sort it out. The only issue is that people are frustrated now that they haven't heard anything, but Daffy only got out of the field yesterday. Smiths are doing the final little pick at 10:30 this morning. The GT mountain bike thing's there this weekend. We're doing the bar for that. We haven't stopped, and there's, you know, this weekend there's Tewkesbury Festival. I think we've got something like 7 or 8 weddings. Last weekend we had 7 or 8 weddings. My business, Pig on the Hill, plus we've got the pubs. You know, plus we were battered by COVID in terms of I don't have that many staff. I can't get staff. It's been really tough. You can probably hear it in my voice. Like I've not stopped.
You're smiling, but you're tired.
Oh, mate, I'm so happy. I went to go and watch Cheltenham Town football. They beat Ipswich 1-0 down and 1-2-1, didn't they, Jim? That was amazing.
Great game.
We went to Arsenal Chelsea, which wasn't so great. Arsenal are in a club in crisis, which is dreadful.
See, now you're over my head now. I'm just
sorry.
A geek.
Yeah.
Football, not a chance. Rugby, I love a bit of rugby.
No.
I'm no good at football. So let's look to next year then, shall we, right? Lakefest 2022, we'll be back in the Deer Park.
Yeah.
With a fabulous stage.
I think it's the 11th of August.
So, tell me that's the first thing you're going to book this year, the stage.
Yeah, well, to be honest, Mark, I really want to do a deal with the guy that let us down. We've worked with him for 7 years. I see it wasn't his fault entirely, you know. Mm. He had problems with the festival he was at. But I'd like him to give us our money back. That's the first thing. I think he should do that for the grief he caused us. Particularly as he didn't actually do anything for the money, and I'd like to work with him again and give him a second chance. People think I'm mad, but that's the person I am. But yeah, we need to book that. We want to book. I'm going to change shower suppliers this year, so we need to book the new supplier for that, because generally, mate, it's incumbent people. So we work with our partners, and that's how we've built a good team, because there's a lot of trust between us. We all know each other. We had the firemen this year, we added them, that they were five solid blokes who I couldn't thank enough, because they were, it's just great having more professionals on the ground, you know, and they've come part of the team really well. It felt good on the ground, didn't it? The team that we've got is great. Like I said, the layout's great. We're in a really good place now with this thing. It's been 10 really hard years, mate. Mm. I mean, it really has. But
is it going to be the 10th anniversary next year?
Well, it's weird, isn't it? Because we missed a year. It was the year that never was, wasn't there? Yeah. This was year 10, 2021.
So because the Wurzels, 10th.
I count the Wurzels as the first Lake Fest, really, 2011, because that was where it started. There was 2,000 people at that show.
And but that was before it was called Lake Fest.
It was, yeah, but that was the first one at Croft. It was when it was born, yeah. And so it was the 10th year this year, 10th anniversary of that event. So it'll be the 11th, but it will be the 10th event, if you like, won't it? Because we missed that year.
This is turning into a regeneration crisis in Doctor Who. So I would go with 10. Go with 10 next year and call it the 10th Lake Fest.
Because
look, it's an opportunity to have a cake and do something special.
Yeah, it's true, actually. Yeah.
And tie in 10 somehow.
We could do that in the branding somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jim, what do you think about that? How's your graphic design skills?
Well, I'm not...
limited.
No trouble, Jim. You just go, yeah, I can sort that out for you in an evening, no problem at all.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're back, and we're going to sell tickets this Friday, which is the 27th, 9 p.m. And yeah, what was it, the 11th to 14th August 2022. So there's no rest for the wicked. We're sorting things, learning from our mistakes, and deciding on what's going to happen next. And we're going to start selling tickets, and astonishingly. Or maybe not astonishingly, there's over 4,500 people opted in to our priority list to buy tickets already for next year, which is incredible.
Yeah.
There's been what can only be described as an overwhelming
show
of love.
Well, that shows the level what good job we did in the face of such adversity, as I said, because we've smashed it, and I know we have, because the feedback I've had has nearly brought me to tears.
Yeah,
it's been amazing. So I'm really, really pleased. And thank you for what you did, Craig. I know we had some crosswords prior to the event, but you were a rock, and you've been brilliant.
No worries. Like I said, everyone's part of a team, everyone knows each other. I think if that wasn't the case, and it was a load of third parties meeting for the first time, maybe it would have fallen apart on that Thursday, and everyone turned it around, put stuff behind them, and delivered a fantastic event. And the proof's on social media with the comments and the emails and everything that comes through. People emotional, genuinely emotional about getting back together, socialising, seeing their friends and family, and dancing the night away. So one woman messaged saying her legs were hurting, she could hardly stand up the next day because she had such a good time.
I know I couldn't. I was struggling.
That's probably for different reasons, though, wasn't it?
That was all the work stewarding you were doing. Yeah, bail you out of that one.
We're already working on the licence already. Looking at that next year's licence, because I felt the bar closed too early on the Thursday night. It was silly. It's like 10 o'clock or something. Was it 11? I can't remember.
Am I right in saying that the dance tents shut at 2, not 4?
Yeah, shut
being
at 2.
An old man, I wasn't even up at that point. Yeah.
Well, it's funny, because we're all in agreement that the closing of the arena at 2 works, because it makes it family. It means that your kids aren't on at you to stay out really late. And I like the close time of the arena, actually, and I quite like that. But the bar needs to stay open a little bit later, because when Oasis played, that were amazing, the bar was actually shut, and when the Silent Disco was on, the bar was actually shut, which is the two busiest times in that tent, so that doesn't work. But we've also, we're also booking, we've booked our first headliner. I can't tell you who it is, but they're big. They're big. Well, I don't think it's quite your cup of tea, to be honest, Mark, but it's...
Oh, I'm going to pull a face when we finish this recording and you tell me, are you right?
Yeah. Okay. But we're talking to some really big names, and we'll get the line up. We'll get the line up again, and we'll add something. You know, we were talking about maybe doing something with you guys at the event. Yeah, and we'll just add something a little bit different, just to keep it new and fresh, and we'll improve it. And I'm quite looking forward to next year already, which is the first time I can ever say that. You know, I really I can't wait for it to come around again, because I really did, despite the Thursday, I really enjoyed it after. Do you know when I started to relax was when the Stereo MCs, he really lifted the audience, and I watched it in the crowd with my friend, with Stephen, the BMXer, and it just started to feel good. And it just got better and better and better and better. You know, come that Silent Disco, I was just in heaven, you know. I felt so good, and I could just see the love everywhere, and thousands of people singing and dancing to songs. It was incredible.
It was. Listen, guys, thank you for your honesty, because there's a lot of stuff that you've imparted that people won't have even known happened. And if you want to show these guys the love, buy a ticket. Super Early Birds on sale, 9 p.m. Friday. They're going to go very quick, but then, of course, the early birds, and then the rest of the tiers will start appearing as well. Book your ticket for Lakefest 2022. Lee, Craig and Jimmy, thank you for coming in.
Pleasure.
And that was another Sunshine Radio podcast.